WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The sun set on the British Empire 60 years ago this summer, on August 15, 1947, when India officially gained its independence. A new work of narrative history called Indian Summer probes the behind-the-scenes political machinations and potentially scandalous secret love affair that facilitated the handover. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
It's history that reads like a David Lean movie, down to the lavish costumes, the stiff upper lip stars, and the hordes of hapless extras with the occasional elephant thrown in. When India gained its independence from Great Britain and the Islamic nation of Pakistan was created, roughly a million people died in the sectarian riots that followed among Muslims, Sikhs, and Hindus. The new Prime Minister Nehru and the British Viceroy Louis Dicky Mountbatten struggled to restore order through political negotiations, while the Mahatma Gandhi tried to shame the warring factions into peace through a hunger strike. Meanwhile, Edwina Mountbatten, the beautiful and congenitally promiscuous wife of the British Viceroy, raced around to refugee camps tending the wounded, while in off hours, she and Nehru tended their passionate feelings for each other in a love affair that lasted years. All very hush-hush, but with the open-minded Dickey's approval. Indian Summer, a debut work of narrative history by Alex von Tunzelman, tries to tell the so-called secret history of the end of the British Empire without indulging in nudges and winks. In fact, sometimes von Tunzelman errs too much on the side of edification versus titillation and falls into the novice historian's trap of providing flat, summing-up sentences at the end of her paragraphs to tell readers what lessons they've just learned. But even von Tunzelman's pedestrian style can't tamp down the heady allure of her character-driven story. Her focus here on Dicky and Edwina Mountbatten's role in Britain's divestment of the jewel in its crown is illuminating and oddly bracing. To say that both were deeply flawed human beings would be an understatement, and yet, when their lives collided with history, they transcended their own giddy, gilded narcissism. Dicky Mountbatten, who was a relative of the British royal family, was such a screw-up as an officer in the Royal Navy during World War II that his nickname in the Admiralty was the Master of Disaster. He smashed up and sunk a ship under his command and hatched the madcap plan to launch an invasion of the French port of Dieppe in 1942, which resulted in an Allied bloodbath. His wedding in 1922 to the heiress Edwina Ashley was the Brit High Society event of the year. The two hobnobbed with their royal relatives and the likes of Noel Coward and Charlie Chaplin. From the early days of their marriage, though, Edwina openly indulged in affairs, writing the devastated Dicky confessions that begin with chipper acknowledgments like, "I feel I've been such a beast." India, however, seemed to bring out the best qualities in both of them. Dicky was posted there as viceroy in the spring of 1947, and he turned out to be a progressive champion of Indian nationalism over British colonialism. Edwina plunged into humanitarian work and found in Nehru the great love of her life. The feeling was mutual. "Life is a dreary business," wrote Nehru in one of his many letters to Edwina, "and when a bright patch comes, it rather takes one's breath away." The two pledged to put work before personal happiness. If the affair had been made public at the time, Muslim leader Mohammed Jinnah, for one, could have accused the British viceroy and his wife of favoring the interests of Nehru's India over the newly created Islamic nation of Pakistan. When Edwina died unexpectedly in 1960 of heart failure, she was found in her bed, a pile of Nehru's old letters beside her. Von Tunzelman also delves into the all-too-human frailties of other titanic figures crucial to the saga of Indian independence. Gandhi, with his disquieting disdain for bodily hungers and his enthusiasm for Hitler, Churchill and his contempt for Mountbatten and all things Indian, von Tunzelmann quotes Churchill as saying, "I hate Indians. They are a beastly people with a beastly religion." Though its prose sometimes plods, Indian Summer offers a fascinating, behind-the-scenes account of the breakup of British rule in India, tracing the larger arc of why and how that breakup came to be inevitable. The book also makes readers grateful to the benign fates that made Mountbatten viceroy to India and Churchill prime minister during World War II, and not the inverse.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Indian Summer by Alex von Tunzelmann. If you'd like to catch up on programs you missed, you can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org.